A 9-year-old boy reaches for a pool float at summer camp. The attendant pulls it away. That's not for colored people. In that moment, Irwin L. Ince Jr. learned something that would haunt him for years. He was different, and that difference meant rejection. By college, he turned away from Christianity entirely, dismissing it as the white man's religion while embracing Black nationalism. Yet this same man would eventually discover that the gospel he'd rejected held the very answer to the racial wounds that scarred him. What changed? He encountered a vision of God so beautiful, so diverse in its unity, that it shattered his assumptions about faith, identity, and what it means to be human. This isn't a story about colorblindness or pretending differences don't matter. It's about discovering that the God who created diversity delights in it and calls us to do the same. Beauty isn't subjective. It's woven into reality, flowing from God himself. A snowflake's precision, a thunderstorm's chaos, a flower's symmetry, these echo divine beauty, marked by perfection, proportion, and pleasure. Yet God's beauty mysteriously accommodates scars. Christ's resurrected body still bore crucifixion wounds, forever marking the divine with suffering love. The Trinity reveals God's deepest beauty. At Jesus' baptism, all three persons appear: the Father's voice, the Spirit descending, the Son in humble submission. Ancient theologians called this perichoresis, an eternal dance where Father, Son, and Spirit fully indwell each other in mutual glorification, supporting and promoting each other's purposes without beginning or end. This Trinitarian pattern shapes all beautiful relationships. From electrons orbiting atoms to galaxies spinning through space, the universe reflects this divine dance. True beauty emerges not from uniformity, but from distinct elements working in perfect harmony. Like an orchestra needing every instrument, no single person, race, or culture can fully express God's image. Only humanity in its entirety displays God's complete glory. What makes a person valuable? In the ancient world, only kings bore the divine image. Everyone else existed to serve them. Egypt's enslavement of Israel exemplified how societies weaponized ethnic differences to justify oppression. Against this backdrop, the Bible's declaration that every human bears God's image was revolutionary and remains so. Like an artist's signature on a masterpiece, this divine imprint bestows inalienable worth upon every person, transcending ability, achievement, or social status. This explains why the Sabbath commandment mandated rest for servants, foreigners, even animals, and why idolatry is prohibited, because we ourselves are God's true image bearers. Christianity doesn't erase personal identity, it redeems and transforms it. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. proclaimed, there are no gradations in the image of God. Everyone from treble white to base black possesses equal dignity. The Memphis sanitation worker's 1968 "I Am a Man" signs illustrated how racism fundamentally denies this God-given dignity. Ethnic identity is good. God determined our birth, parents, and cultural context, but it's not ultimate. The command to be fruitful and multiply wasn't about exploitation, but cultivation, engaging creation through art, music, language, cuisine, and countless expressions of human creativity. God's vision for redeemed humanity appears in Isaiah's imagery of people becoming a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, entire societies adorned with righteousness and justice. Jake, a white, conservative, Republican church deacon, posted an image of President Obama trampling the Bill of Rights. When a black woman from his church called out racist bigots who are church officers, Jake responded unexpectedly. He initiated a face-to-face conversation and listened. While maintaining his conservative principles, he developed humility about his political views, recognizing that faithful Christians could hold different positions. This modern example reflects an ancient problem rooted in the Tower of Babel. Humanity used their unified language for rebellion, building a city and tower to make a name for ourselves. God confused their language, forcing them to disperse. This created isolated communities where we derive our dignity from ethnic, social, cultural, economic, and academic enclaves that we love to a fault. Racism exemplifies this ghettoization. In the Presbyterian Church in America, of nearly 4,900 ministers, only about 50 are Black, 40 Hispanic, 480 Asian, and 2 First Nations. Throughout Genesis, each judgment is countered with a covenant promise. After Babel came God's promise to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This blessing reunifies all families separated at Babel, a beautiful community fulfilled through Christ. The church's ultimate purpose is to fulfill God's plan to unite all things in Jesus Christ, with reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles as primary evidence. Our preference for sameness creates isolation. Affluent neighborhoods separate from working-class areas, and 90% of congregations remain at least 90% same race. This contradicts stated values. Highly educated whites claiming comfort with Black neighbors often live more segregated lives than less educated whites. True belonging means being both co-owner and co-creator of community. Research participants consistently prioritized sound biblical teaching over cultural comfort, revealing people will navigate diversity's challenges when committed to Scripture as central authority. Cultivating community costs preferences. Minority fatigue develops when ethnic minorities are the only ones adjusting. Churches must probe their preferences. Most people substantially overestimate their intercultural capability. For majority culture churches, this means experiencing minority leadership with real authority. For minority culture churches, introducing diversity creates legitimate fear of losing identity as safe havens. Beautiful community brings unavoidable dissonance. Black Presbyterian minister Francis Grimke demonstrated this balance, pastoring 50 years while helping form the NAACP. Many believers remain trapped within the claims of their own ethnic or cultural community, making absolute what should be relative. Only Jesus can bear the weight of being at our center. Our racial identities cannot. Sustaining beautiful community requires daily gratitude, even when fellowship proves difficult. Research participants emphasized how gratitude grew through authentic relationships. Yoon valued genuine listening, while Joyce initially felt tokenized until authentic vulnerability emerged. Dinesh found belonging through mutual vulnerability despite communication challenges. Andrea noted how diverse church membership keeps you on the hook to engage with different perspectives, requiring time, humility, and dependence on Christ. The Spirit doesn't remove diversity, but enables us to love within it. Scripture's story is fundamentally about reunion, reversing the fractures caused by the fall. As poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote, "Glory be to God for dappled things." Our hope rests not on our progress, but on God's promises to restore what was broken at Babel. The vision culminates in Revelation's picture of a multicultural multitude united in perfect harmony, where diversity enhances rather than threatens unity. This is the balm for our souls amidst current divisions, a promise that differences can be celebrated, not merely tolerated. Food consistently emerges as vital to belonging, particularly cross-cultural meals. The Bible overflows with food imagery, from Israel's elders eating in God's presence on Mount Sinai, to Isaiah's promise of a feast of rich food, to John's vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Food is more pleasurable than necessary, suggesting God blesses it for enjoyment beyond mere sustenance. The Lord's Supper is a multinational, diverse, ethnicity-affirming meal preparing us for the wedding feast with people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. This vision enables us to resist polarization and celebrate that the triune God refused to turn away from our darkness, sending His Son to restore communion. In a world fractured by tribalism, beauty emerges from harmony amid diversity, not uniformity. The God who dances in eternal, diverse unity invites us into that dance, not by erasing our differences, but by celebrating them as reflections of His infinite creativity. Your church isn't meant to be a collection of people who look, think, and vote alike. It's meant to be a preview of the feast that's coming, where every nation, tribe, and tongue will finally sit together at God's table.